for 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Welcome to the 9 o'clock hour here this Saturday morning of Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition, where we come every Saturday morning with the intent of becoming every Arizona homeowner's best friend. Well, how about this past week? Even though we got a little hot and it broke 115, Romy, how would you compare this to last summer?
I don't remember last summer.
It was the meanest, ugliest, baddest summer ever I've ever lived.
I think I've put that one out of my memory.
Well, maybe you've got the smarter play on this one, that's for sure. Because after being here 57 years, I will tell you without a doubt, it was the most miserable summer in Arizona I've ever experienced, ever. That was the record-setting hot spring and summer of 2020. More days over 100 ever observed in one calendar year. 14 days over 115, 53 days over 110, and a 28-day stretch where the temperature never dropped below 9. I'm getting hot just talking about it, man. This has really been a nice spring. But you know what? Last summer, about 7 million Arizona residents made it through that mean, miserable summer because of air conditioning.
We would not have 7 million people in Arizona if it was not for air conditioning.
If it weren't for air conditioning, that's for sure. So in the midst of all that heat, I would be lying if I told you there weren't days, afternoons, sitting at home, looking out my living room window to the backyard. I think the pool was actually even steaming a couple times, boiling. It was so hot. The trees were wilting. The grass was wilting. The dogs were running in and out, mostly in. And I just kind of wondered and was very thankful and grateful for the fact that APS has my back. SRP has my back. Them little electrons are going to keep flowing right through that meter. And I don't, right now, this afternoon at 118 degrees, I don't care what it costs per kilowatt. Just get that electron to my air conditioning compressor and I'll be okay. And if you'll remember, last summer we had the frame of reference of the California shutdowns of 2019, the chaos of 3.5 million California residents being out of power. Kaboom, done.
How many of them you think are here now?
Too many, that's for sure.
We're going to have to start doing the census every 2 years, not 10.
So in the midst of my wondering about the security of the Arizona grid system, I contacted friends at APS and SRP, and they have arranged today for the distribution czars of the two utility companies to be here in the studio. APS, thank you for sending Mr. Jacob Tetlow, the Executive Vice President of Operations. Jacob, thanks for joining us this morning, man.
Thanks, Rosie. Pleasure to be here.
Gosh. And SRP, thank you, SRP, for bringing Mr. Chris Hoffman, Director of Transmission Operations. You monitor the electrons.
That's right. Thanks, Rosie. Happy to be here.
Electricity is such a peculiar thing.
It is. It's fun, isn't it?
Well, it's perplexing, to say the least. I'd like to say I understood it enough for it to be fun, but I'll tell you how fun it is. All my toolboxes in the garage are color-coded. And when my wife sees me pull the red one out, which has the circuit conductors and the wire strippers and my electric tools, she packs the goldfish, the pet tortoise, the dogs, the kids, and she just drives to the waiting parking lot at the emergency room.
I think my wife just dials 911
and waits. She knows sparks are going to be flying. But what do we tell Arizona homeowners about the security of our grid system, Chris? I mean, you got to be able to depend on an Arizona homeowner. You can't think about not having something running or cooling you when it's 118 degrees for the sixth day in a row.
Yeah, those were some pretty impressive heat strengths.
Man.
I'll be honest. You know, Arizona's used to this, though, and so is SRP, and same with APS. We're used to dealing with these long, hot summers. All year long, we're taking all the lessons learned we've gotten from the previous summer, what we see impactful for the customers, and we're implementing changes throughout the year so we can meet that summer need coming up. So, yeah, it's a constant battle, but it's a constant learning process as well.
Man, oh, man, APS, Jacob, y'all ever see the meter go from yellow to orange to...
We do keep a pretty good eye on that power flow, and it definitely, you can see it. When it's 115 degrees, you know, the system is at full load.
And when you say full load, we're not really adding more power plants, but we're adding population. How much more growth can we sustain before we have to start adding additional generation plants?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, really, you know, we're adding distributed energy, as you see, you know, customers are installing residential solar panels on their roof, and we are building new clean energy sources today. So we are adding some power. What you don't see is those traditional, you know, coal-fired and gas-fired power plants being added to the system. So we are growing. We do see about a 1% growth in the system demand year over year. So we do anticipate that. And you know, as much to kind of the opening comments, we look 10 years ahead. We build a transmission system on a 10-year look ahead. And summer's our season. I mean, we know it. We plan APS, SRP. We work together. We make sure we got the resources there to feed that load.
You know, the water management guys really have it easy. They just put up a dam and save it.
It does seem like they have some benefits here.
You know, once you guys produce electricity, we can't put it anywheres unless it gets consumed. So you've got your constant foot on the clutch.
Yeah, it's that one commodity in life where you have to make the exact amount of it that your customers want at the exact moment they want it.
Got to keep it in balance.
Now that would keep me awake at night if I was you, Chris.
You know what keeps
me
awake?
So when Aunt Sylvia opens her refrigerator door and that light goes on at 2 o'clock in the morning on a hot night, she's thinking of you, Chris.
I don't know what to think about that.
She wants to know that light's going to come on, that refrigerator's cool, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we're always trying, or we always succeed, and same with APS, at meeting the supply and demand. It's a constant struggle, but we always meet it.
To me, that seems like a highly improbable statistic, that in 7 million people, offices, residential applications, commercial facilities, you've got to know minute by minute, day by day, hour by hour, what the demand is going to be. And I wouldn't be comfortable just relying on historical statistics. So you got to build a buffer in there.
We do, Rosie. We do have a buffer. We actually have what we call reserve planning reserves. And so when we project what that load's going to be, we put a little margin on top of that just to make sure, because we understand how important it is and how big a difference it makes to, you know, providing what is today a more essential resource than it's ever been in the history, right? You can't have 7 million people living here without power, electricity, to charge our phones, to now charge some cars. So it's definitely changing.
Well, you know, back to the water management, if there's a tablespoon of water in the CAP when it reaches the end of the ditch in Tucson, they just pump it back in the ground. What do you do with the electricity at the end of the line that doesn't get used? Where do you discharge it to? Where does it go?
Well, that's kind of the neat part of the equation is we don't store it. We only make exactly the amount that's needed. You don't ever – I mean, you could put some batteries in, and we're working on those technologies, and we're installing some large-scale batteries. But today, and you know, maybe there's a few small exceptions where you might pump water back up into a reservoir as a way to use excess power. But today, you just match the demand that's out there from our customers with the generation resources. So you know, you can kind of think of it as your car. You're just going to step on the gas pedal a little bit more, and you're going to make more energy. And then if the demand drops, then you kind of let off the gas pedal a little bit.
How long does it take electricity generated from Palo Verde to meet the end of its transmission? I think the farthest away is somewhere in Texas, El Paso area. I mean, is that speed of light?
Yeah, that's right. What is it, 186,000 miles per second?
Just a couple blinks of an eye. And so when you're adjusting that accelerator, I mean, it really is affecting that millions of people.
Yeah, and you got to think of it as kind of like a big mesh network, big grid, right? Because we have customers all over the place in the western states that are all interconnected, and we have power plants distributed across all of that too. So the reality is you'll pick up some resource and you'll add more load and step on the gas pedal in different regions based on what you see for demands. But it is all interconnected in the 13 western states.
Unlike Texas.
Yeah, we're not Texas, other than El Paso.
And I want to get to that because as I'm making it through that hot summer, and I mean, we had 100 degree days through October of last fall. And it was just months later, Texas goes in a freeze. I think it was February, where the natural gas lines start freezing. The generating plants don't have the fuel they need to generate. I want to talk about that completely separate because I've got Aunt Sylvia in Austin, and they tell me if she would have turned on one more light switch, the whole state would have gone into months of blackout. Months of blackout. I guess when a generating plant throws a fuse, you don't just reset the breaker. I do want to get into that, but I want to stay here in Arizona just a little bit longer. I can't remember in all the years I've lived here more than once or twice us ever having to even address the issue of brownouts, rolling outages. I mean, we've just never really had to deal with that as a part of everyday life in Arizona.
That's right. In the history of APS, we don't have a time where we've actually ever had to load shed like the experience that California had last summer or what you talked about in Texas. That's kind of your last tool in the toolbox when it comes to keeping the lights on and trying to balance that load and demand. And you know, that's the last thing we would ever want to do.
And I would have hated to be that guy at PG&E who made the decision, okay, this is going to be a planned rolling outage. At some nanosecond, he has to decide, uh-oh, we're going from rolling planned outages to blackout in this community and that community and that community. And he's just pulling switches and disconnecting people that don't have time to battery charge their life-saving devices, their medical devices, or any of the electronic devices that we've come to live with every single day of our lives. It's just turned off. The reliability and security of the Arizona grid system here with APS and SRP. We're going to continue this conversation. Don't go anywhere.